My name is Jennifer. I am a grateful believer who has some victories over alcohol and nicotine and is currently struggling with anger, resentments, and trust. Today we are going to look at moral. So that's principle four. Go ahead and say it with me. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. And step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord, Lamentations 3:40. So tonight we start to dig in and begin the growth process of recovery. Now, even though principle four may bring some growing pains with it, tonight we're going to look at ways to maximize growth and minimize pain. I wish I could say you can escape the pain of your past altogether by going around it or jumping over it. But the only way I know to get rid of your pain is to go straight through it. It's kind of like your pain is those leftovers that you stick in the fridge. And after a week, you're like, those are looking kind of funky. I don't want to deal with that. So you push it further back in the fridge. After a month, they're looking even more funky. And you're like, no, don't want to deal with that. And you push them even further back. But eventually what happens is they end up stinking up your entire refrigerator and you got to take them out. You got to clean it. You got to bleach the inside of the refrigerator and then you can put everything back again. So step four is that process of taking those leftovers out of your refrigerator and cleaning out all the bad and the good and everything so you can have a nice new spick and span fridge. It's been said that we need to use our past as a springboard, not a sofa, as a guidepost and not a hitching post. So one of the things that they warn against when you get ready to start your moral inventory is this idea of getting stuck in your past. And I know that it can happen to the best of us because I spent nearly 2 years of my last couple of years of, or the last 2 years of my sobriety up until recently, I spent trying to make up for my past. Instead of using it as a springboard to go forward, I used it as a sofa to kind of wallow in and stay stuck in, and that wasn't helping me. It's not going to help me if I spend all of my time with my hands deep in that lovely leftover container without actually taking the stuff out and getting rid of it. I know some people who spend their lives rationalizing the past, complaining about the present, and fearing the future. They, of course, are not moving forward on the road to recovery. But by coming tonight, you are choosing to move forward. And if you choose to embark on the adventure of self-discovery that begins with principle four, I can guarantee you that growth will occur. Principle four is the process of coming clean. Pastor Rick Warren calls it truth decay. It's here that we openly examine and confess our faults to ourselves, to God, and to another person we trust. We chip away and clean out all of the decay of the past that has built up over the years and has kept us from seeing the truth about our past and present situations. So again, we're metaphorically taking everything out of the refrigerator so we can deep clean it. You may be wondering, how do I do this thing called a moral inventory? The word moral scares some people. It scared me when I first worked this step, but the reality of it is moral simply means honest. In this step, you'll need to list or inventory all the significant events, good and bad, in your life, and you need to be as honest as you can because, A, God knows everything, so you're not hiding it from him if you're not honest with yourself. And B, if we don't take everything out of the fridge, we're going to be left with some of the stuff that still has that lovely lingering smell. And that's no bueno. We want to clean the whole thing out. So tonight's acrostic will explain the five things you need to do in order to make a moral inventory. First, you need to make time. That's your first letter in your acrostic for those of you who like to follow along. Schedule an appointment with yourself. So this is one of those things that I always tell sponsees, don't expect yourself to just have time to do your inventory. You actually need to make time, schedule that time, because if it's, I'm going to get to that, what ends up happening is we get to the end of the day and we didn't get to that. So setting aside a day or a weekend to get alone with God and to really listen to what God is telling you and what God's trying to open up for you in your life is really important. The next letter in moral is O, which stands for open. Remember as a child, you would visit the doctor and he would say, open wide in that funny sing-song voice? Well, this is our opportunity to open wide our heart and our mind to allow the feelings that the pain of the past has blocked or caused you to deny. So denial may have protected you in the past, but denial is also what keeps you from moving forward. If I simply say, oh, there are no moldy leftovers in my fridge, I'm never going to deal with them. So it blocks you and prevents your recovery from your hurts, habits, and hangups. So you need to open wide to see the real truth, and then you need to express that real truth. Here's what Job had to say about being open. Let me express my anguish. Let me be free to speak out the bitterness of my soul. So sometimes we can ask ourselves some questions that help wake up our feelings and get us started on inventory. The first question is, what do I feel guilty about? Now, I want to be very clear. There is a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt says I did something wrong. Shame says I am wrong. Guilt is based on your behaviors, on your choices. Shame turns it into who you are as a person. So be very aware if you are starting an inventory to notice when you're saying shame messages versus guilt, because guilt can be used in a positive direction. Shame keeps us stuck. So God's given purpose of guilt is to correct us. So it's that feeling that lets us know that we're wrong, that we are convicted of something. Conviction is not the same as condemnation. Romans 8:1 tells us there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So once we've turned our lives over to Jesus and confessed our wrongs and accepted his forgiveness, as far as God is concerned, guilt purpose is done. So we don't need to feel that guilt anymore. We don't need to hold on to it. We don't need to repeatedly beat ourselves over the head with it. That's condemnation, when I'm continuing to beat myself up for the things of my past that I've done. That's not from God, but from ourselves. The next question that you can ask yourself is, what do I resent? Resentment results from burying our hurts. I once had a counselor tell me that resentment's companion feeling is jealousy. So it's a wanting something or not having something that can cause resentment, which then can lead to anger, frustration, and depression. What we don't talk out creatively, we act out destructively. So in my own life, I've seen this come out with my almost 17-year-old daughter, who was very aware of my addiction at the end of my journey before I found recovery. And I struggle with a lot of resentments towards her for continuing to bring up the past, because I'm trying to live without that condemnation and without those feelings of shame. And for a while, I was just letting those resentments boil up and not actually doing anything about them. And it culminated in me actually going through a period where I showed my daughter apathy. And that was probably one of the worst things for a growing relationship, was for me to just check out and be like, okay, not going to deal with it. So when you have resentments, it's important that you're addressing them right away. You're dealing with them. You're making amends when amends need to be made. You're offering forgiveness when forgiveness needs to be made. And you're moving on instead of getting stuck in those resentments. Another big question that you can openly ask yourself during this step is, what are my fears? Fear prevents us from expressing ourselves honestly and taking an honest inventory. Joshua 1:9 tells us, do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. So fear, often fear of judgment, fear of critique from others, can get in the way of an open, honest inventory. I can tell you as a sponsor, you're probably not going to tell me anything worse than I've done myself or I've heard from somebody else. And remembering that God already knows. So really, the confessing piece is a lot more for you to be able to be open and honest with what has gone on for you. The next question on the list of hard questions to ask yourself, because I don't know about you guys, but I don't particularly like the questions so far. They're hard ones. Is what, or am I trapped in self-pity, alibis, and or dishonest thinking? These questions are only the beginning of your inventory, but don't be discouraged because the next letter offers a reminder that you don't have to face this task alone. The next letter is R, which stands for rely. Rely on Jesus to give you the courage and the strength that this step requires. This is not a step that you go through on your own by yourself in a little bubble in your room on a Saturday night. This is a process where you step into partnership with Jesus giving you the strength and the courage to do your inventory. So the suggestion is when your knees are knocking, it might help to kneel on them. So really opening yourself up to allow God's power and presence to be in you. Isaiah 40:29 tells us that Jesus gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You can do this with his help. There's also beautiful verses in Isaiah that talk about, you know, we'll mount on wings like an eagle. He'll give you strength to the man's strength to run as long as he needs to run. You know, there's thousands of scriptures within the Bible that talk about God giving us power and strength to accomplish the things that we in our own puny littleness cannot actually accomplish ourselves. Before we go any further, just a reminder that the principles and the steps are in order for a reason, not just because we have these cool nifty acrostics. You need to complete principle 3, which is turning your life and your will over to God, before you can successfully work principle 4. Once you know the love and the power of the one and only higher power, Jesus Christ, there's no longer any need to fear this principle. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the conquering of it. And God gives us the power through Jesus to be able to conquer fear. So now you are ready to analyze your past honestly, which is your next letter in moral. Analyze. To do a searching and fearless inventory, you must step out of your denial because we cannot put our faults behind us until we face them. You must look through your denial of the past into the truth of the present, your true feelings, motives, thoughts, and your dark side. So think of it this way. What goes on inside of us is kind of like a play. We'll take Romeo and Juliet, for example. So in Romeo and Juliet, each of the characters has a role to play. And Mercutio, if he was in that lovely scene with Romeo and Juliet on the balcony, if Mercutio bursts in, that's not the right time or place. But when it's his scene out on the beach, it's the perfect time and place. So if we look at these different pieces of ourself and different pieces of our past as having had a role to play and a piece in our life, then that can make it easier to look at both the positive and the negative of our past when we're looking at inventory. So when we analyze, we pick apart the details of the situation, we look at it from all of the angles. So one of the important things as we get ready to analyze our past honestly is the L in moral, which stands for list. So your inventory is basically a written list of the events in your past, both good and bad. Balance is super important. Romeo and Juliet would not be the same without Tybalt and Mercutio. It just wouldn't be. So you will look at it as a black and white discovery of who you truly are deep down. If you look at just the bad things of your past, you'll distort your inventory and open yourself up to unnecessary pain. The verse in Lamentations doesn't say just examine your bad negative ways. You need to honestly focus on the pros and the cons of your past. I know people who've neglected to balance their inventory and have gotten stuck in their recoveries. I know ladies who have started in step studies and started to get bogged down because they weren't balancing. And sometimes, which is part of the reason why in a step study you have an attrition rate, sometimes the program gets to be judged as too hard or too painful, and people drop out of this part of recovery, this inventory process. And a lot of that has to do with not keeping that balance of good and bad. But the biggest word of caution is don't start this step unless you have a sponsor or a strong accountability partner, because you need someone else from the outside who can help you see, hey, you've listed like 20 bad things. How about we come up with 5 good things from your past? Or who's able to say, oh, it seems like you're spending a lot of time repeating to yourself about this specific situation. What are those shame messages that you're saying to yourself? What's keeping you stuck there? You need encouragement from somebody who's going to support your progress and share your pain, because that's what this program is all about. So, if you're new to recovery or this is your first recovery meeting, this might seem a little weird to be talking about inventory. Don't worry, you'll get there. Like I said earlier, the steps are meant to be done in order. So start with step 1. Don't jump in on step 4. I know some people are like super gung-ho about their recovery. This is not a place where you want to skip steps. Bad mojo. So if everybody can go ahead and bow their heads, I'm going to pray the principle for prayer. Dear God, you know our past, all the good and the bad things that we've done. In this principle, we ask that you give us the strength and the courage to list them so that we can come clean and face them and the truth. Please help us to reach out to others whom you have placed along our road to recovery. Thank you for providing them to help us keep balanced as we do our inventories. In Christ's name I pray, amen.